This is Brock and Salk.
You kind of look at me like I had a third head.
Brock Huard is my hero.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
What Brock Huard says?
No, he's not a brand.
My body won't perform.
And 710sports.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com as well. It's always weird when a familiar injury, Brock, crops up in a completely different sport, and I'm not sure whether it matters or not.
Oh, I'm glad I was not alone. I don't know if you had to look up UCL like
no,
I did
last
night.
No, I didn't have to look
night.
It up. I know what it is.
Yes. I was like, look, is that, that's
you
not in the knee.
You didn't have to look up UCL
like,
after reading
second.
The arm.
You read the arm.
You read the arm.
UCL, ACL, MCL, there's so many of these L's.
You read the arm. There's no way
never,
that's true.
You never, ever, ever associate, I haven't. UCL with football.
No.
You just do not do that. So,
you
that's
remember,
why it threw me for a blindside.
The UCL, the ulnar collateral ligament, is in the elbow, and that's what generally triggers Tommy John surgery, which also eventually helped Jeff Passan write his book called The Arm, which is absolutely worth your time if you're looking for something to read. I was not expecting Frank Clark to tweet out that he had torn both of his UCLs this year. A little tweet storm from Frank Clark yesterday in which he said, I wouldn't lie to you guys. I played the whole season at 60%. Trust me, I hit it well. Two torn UCLs in one season, both against the Vikings. I ain't have no elbows, man. If y'all only knew, I didn't make an excuse. No one should ever. Now, I don't know if he read it and exactly wrote it
how
in exactly
many tweets
the voice
were those,
I just
that was
read
not
it.
One tweet.
No, I put that was about seven that I put together, and I left a couple out in there. Frank was on fire yesterday. Also retweeting Thomas Rawls in the middle of all that, which I think was really my favorite part. Anything that brings Thomas Rawls back into the conversation, I'm up for. But what do you make of this, Brock? Frank Clark, two torn UCLs, and he still dominated the league. What? You're not buying it?
No. No, I'm kind of, no, I'm,
what's wrong?
He certainly had elbow injuries.
Why
no,
are you sighing?
There's no question he had elbow injuries because we talked yesterday about this period of time. And in fact, Pete, at the very end of our little Monday discussion with him, what, 11 days ago or so, was like, well, now they leave us for a while, right? And you could just tell it was like a fatherly figure and my sons are leaving me and are they going to go off to college and behave or sons or daughters, but in this case, sons. And yeah, I was like, oh, I don't think Pete's gonna like this. Like, just I don't think it or the training staff or maybe John Schneider, maybe anybody. Remember, they got in trouble with Richard. Well, the comment Pete made about Richard playing a half a season with a knee injury, and then all of a sudden,
yeah, I went right to the injury report. I was like, okay,
yes,
was Frank on it this year? Is this gonna create?
And he was. You know, and
which
he was
Minnesota
on
was it? The early Minnesota game or the
no.
late or
oh,
the
no.
late
it was both
Minnesota game.
Games?
So one in each.
Yeah, that's one in each on both elbows. He popped up on the injury report after he played 25 snaps in the first one. The first one's preseason, and then he popped up on the injury report for the last three games.
So both times he played against Minnesota, he tore one of his UCLs.
I'm hard pressed to believe.
Thanks, Minnesota.
Well, maybe let's not let Frank play against the Vikings anymore.
Hard pressed to believe that it's a totally torn UCL. That's just me. I may be wrong. I also didn't believe that Richard Sherman could tear his Achilles and be walking around on the sideline telling people that I've got a torn Achilles because that's not human. People tear Achilles, and what do? They go down on the ground because they just got shot, right? And they need to be carted off. And, you know, you saw a lineman this weekend, like, tear his Achilles, and, you know, he tried to take two steps. He's down for Philly, and they cart him off. So far be it for me. Maybe these guys are of just a different ilk. In a different nature, but to go on and play with two torn up elbows?
All right, let me ask you a few questions about it. Can I run through? I've got like three or four Frank Clark related questions here. Let me start with this one. How important is Frank Clark? I mean, it's sort of the biggest one, but Pete Carroll, we asked him about that on the Monday following the season. He was pretty clear as to how he feels about old Frank. Oops.
We've been talking to Frank's people. We've been negotiating for some time, and with Ernest, you know, he had a great year. I've said to you tons of times, not only did he have a great year on the field, he had a terrific year developing off the field and has become really a complete factor on this team and a leader and all of that. So we're hoping, we plan on Frank playing with us. We don't want to lose him.
How important is Frank Clark?
Yeah, he's real important. He is the equivalent of the quarterback on defense. When Ken Norton said that to us, I didn't go, wrong. You know,
how important is it to get Frank Clark back next year?
Well, you have to rush the passer.
You have to get him off the spot. I think he's just as important on the defense as a quarterback is on the offense.
You see the little gifts that someone on Twitter put together last night? It was pretty cool, and I'll find the name during the break. But he put together about five different humiliations of human beings that Frank did. Did you watch
it? It was just embarrassing.
Like piece by piece, yes. And it ended with poor Colton Miller.
I know.
Where he just threw that 330-pound man
into. To be fair to poor Colton Miller, he actually wore roller skates for that game. And
he
so
did. I mean, the turf was so bad, he was on bad cleats and everything
that
else.
That was it.
Right. So he just humiliated
How folks. Important is he?
Oh, he's critical and crucial. He has to be back. He has to be a piece of this. I will also tell you why. I ran on that rant a couple weeks ago and said, hey, man, this was a special year. While it was, yes, a retool year, it was special because there was no infighting. There was no contracts to be done. You shedded contracts, and everybody was incentivized, like Jaron Reed and Frank Clark and, you know, Russ, to show what they could do, and they all had career years. Like, that is a pretty special thing.
Yeah.
So he is crucial. I'm glad they're negotiating in earnest. I think that's really important, that it's in earnest with both he and with Russell.
Yep.
And something has to get done.
How do you feel about him saying he only played at 60% this year and then saying, I didn't make an excuse?
Yeah, I don't believe that he played at 60%.
How do you feel about guys coming out after the season in general and saying, I was hurt this year?
Well, if I remember correctly, he did it last year as well. If my memory serves me correctly, it was like a wrist injury in the offseason. Remember, he had a little surgery, and he's like, you guys didn't even know that I had this the year before. So, I mean, he is a guy that also sat out OTAs. He's a guy that if he's franchised, and not to be like gloomy and doomy on yet another beautiful Tuesday or Wednesday morning, but if he's franchised, he's not showing up, right? He's not going to show up until he has to show up. I don't know. Do you think he's going to show up in training camp? I think he's going to show up week one. He's going to want his pay, unlike Le'Veon Bell, who's made a bunch of money. You know, Frank's going to want to collect that $17 or $18 million divided by $1 million a week. He's going to want to collect that. But is he going to be around this offseason? Is he going to be around OTAs? Is he going to be around training camp? What kind of shape is he going to come in?
Well, you would sure hope so. I mean, everything he said this year, Brock, would indicate that he is invested in that. I mean, talking about being in the locker room here.
You know, a group of guys coming together, you know, and believing one common goal, you know, and they believe in one thing, and that's just being great. You know, being the best teammate you can be. You know, being the best man you can be for your brother. And I feel like that's the thing we built this year.
I mean, if all that is true, I mean, he...
And all that was true in 2018, all of that was 100% true. It's a special year in that way.
So I would expect him to be in. I wouldn't expect him to try to hold out. I mean, take Frank at his word that he means all those things.
Sure.
Not
hold out
in
season.
Thing.
But you want him just showing up? Because when you franchise, the reason the Seahawks haven't franchised.
I think you know how I feel about this. I think players should show up for voluntary workouts.
But the reason the Seahawks have not franchised anybody since 2010 is it's not a healthy dynamic. By and large, it usually is not that's not the card they want to play. They want to get a deal done. They want a win on both sides. They want that player there. They want Frank. They love Frank. And you know who else does? Steve Rabel. Who joined us yesterday, who got close to this team after decades and decades and decades. And Frank's story should not be given short shrift. Phenomenal of where he's come from and what he's done.
I have gotten to know Frank Clark. I really like that young man. I know he came in with a little baggage, and he has continued to kind of battle those questions. But here's a guy who, A, was homeless as a child, lived on the street with his mom. This last year lost his father and two relatives in a house fire. I mean, things, and he's not, you know, he's not 27 years old yet. Things don't get much more difficult than that sometimes. And yet, the enthusiasm, the joy of life that he has, the fact that he wants to be that inspiration for his own child, his own daughter, is just remarkable.
I want a deal done, but I don't want to, at first, I'll just franchise him. Not just franchise. No, I want that guy that's overcome those odds to be around this team. That guy we heard of really grow into that leadership role this year. I want him April 15th to be hitting the ground running with a new deal. And he could say, listen, guys, you do this here. You do it right like I did the last 3 years. You get a chance to be rewarded. This team wants to take care of its leaders. It did it in version 1.0 and 2.0, and I want them to do it in 3.0.
Yeah, and I think they would argue they didn't get burned doing it. They maybe got burned doing it a second time with each of those guys and giving them a third contract for their career. I don't think they felt in any way burned by the second contract they gave out to Earl or Cam or Richard or
Russell,
Doug. I mean, you name it. I think they feel really good about all the second contracts they gave out to their stars. Now, other than Russell, none of them are going to be quite as expensive as Frank just because of the position he plays.
Correct.
And that is a major difference. Everyone wants to talk about how the Seahawks were great because Russell wasn't making any money. Maybe they were great because their three pass rushers weren't making any real significant money. That's the other position that can really get up there in terms of dollar value, and Frank is now heading towards that spot. 7-10.
Great point, kid.
Time for Need to Know.
Need to Know, the voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first.
All right, Frank Clark announced on Twitter yesterday that he played much of this past season at only 60% health because of two UCL tears that he suffered against the Vikings. I can't judge necessarily the percentage of health that Frank played at. I do know that he's a really, really good player this year, and he certainly proved some doubters wrong, and I'll throw myself squarely into that category. He was better this year than I imagined he could be and was a tremendous citizen and leader inside that locker room. So what do you do? Well, it's going to be one of the top questions of this offseason, and Brock, I'll repeat what I just said. It's one thing to pay a quarterback big money. It's another to pay a defensive end, and they command the second highest salaries generally in the NFL. Are you willing to pay that kind of huge money to one defensive player?
Yeah, 14 sacks. He's one of the top sackers in the NFL. He was a force throughout. He also played the run this year. That engine got cranked up, I think, as the season went along, as his leadership role really got cranked up through this season. And that's a voice that I would like to have in this building. Not one that we got to talk about that's franchise and isn't there in April and isn't there in May and isn't there in June or July or August and shows up to training camp and what kind of shape and everything else just to make his $1 million a year. I want to win-win. That's going to be hard to do. I think Frank's agent knows the value. I think the numbers are pretty clear of how dominant he's been, not just last year, but more dominant than really any Seahawk rusher over the first 3 years of his career. So this will not be an easy deal to get done, but I would sure love to see it get done.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, once again, the Seahawks need a quarterback. No, not a starting quarterback. Russell still has another year left in his deal, and we'll see about the negotiation that goes on this offseason. No, they're going to need a backup. As it turns out, Alex Magoo, who had been in the practice squad and was drafted in the 7th round this past year, signed with Jacksonville yesterday after being allowed to leave in free agency. In the meantime, Brett Hundley, who was traded yet last year for a 5th-round pick, was also a free agent, so we'll see whether or not he returns. Just seems kind of odd, the two resources spent last year, right? A 5th-rounder from this upcoming draft and last year's 7th-rounder, both spent on quarterbacks that are being allowed to walk away.
Yeah,
those are real resources, especially for John Schneider, who has found some really valuable chips in both the 5th and 7th round.
Yeah, if this were good news, bad news, no news, I think it would be for Alex Magoo largely no news. You know, he gets to go back to Florida, and I guess the Jaguars put together a little bit of just cash on the table to bring him and sign him onto a futures contract and give him a chance. But in the bigger picture, I mean, you look at the quarterback moves other than Russell, I mean, a good one. T-Jack was a placeholder, and he came in, played with a torn pec, maybe laid some of the foundation of toughness and competitiveness. So, you know, I'll give that a passable grade. But outside of that, what QB move have you made? You invest a couple years in Boykin, he's a bust, right? You've brought in other guys through the years. You bring in Magoo. You bring in Hundley this year. He doesn't play at all. And you give up a 5th-round pick for it. So, yeah, that's been a position that is in the background and in the DNA of obviously, John Schneider with Ron Wolf. But one, they're still searching, I think, for answers behind Mr. Wilson.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Yeah, finally, sad note today. It marks the one-year anniversary of Tyler Helinski's death by suicide. The former Washington State quarterback was 21 years old when he passed away. Yeah, we spent some time, actually, this came up yesterday, Brock, and I didn't realize at the time that it was the one-year anniversary. And we'll talk a little bit more about it later in the show. It's hard to be male in today's society for a lot of different reasons, but one thing that I think came out of this specific conversation about Tyler Helinski was the need to have conversations, be open, be honest, and tell other people how you feel. You don't have to tell everybody, you don't have to tell the entire world, you don't have to tell necessarily a therapist, but find somebody in your life that you feel like you can talk to, especially if you feel like you're having problems. That'll be my biggest takeaway and memory when I think about Tyler Helinski's
passing. Yeah, what an incredibly sad day that was. That's already been a year ago. And remember the conversations that did come from that. Remember Ryan Leaf and Drew Bledsoe and the professionals that we got an opportunity to share with and learn from as we walk through all of this together. Yeah, and I think you're right. It is, you have to be willing to be vulnerable and talk, which is not something I think for easy for anybody to do, and certainly for some athletes that feel like they've gotten into that position because of their ability to just grind through. So I'm like, well, Frank Clark, who grinded through a season with 60% of his elbows. So, yeah, I think a lot to be learned and a very sad day to reminisce from 1 year ago.
All right, that's three things you need to know. Of course, we do that every single morning right at 7:10. All right, let's see. A lot going on today. We have a gift card for you guys to win. We had a big music conversation yesterday as Brock was getting into the power ballads. And so we have a challenge. If you know your 80s, early 90s hair metal rock ballads, come compete at 8 o'clock because we've got a gift certificate on the line.
So I went home, got a quick little workout in, right? Yeah. Said to Alexa, play power ballads. What was the first one that came up?
First one?
101, shuffling 101 power ballads.
The first power ballad Alexa played was I Remember You by Skid Row.
Living on a Prayer.
Huh. Is that a power ballad? Isn't that just kind of a rock song?
That's what it came up with.
I think that's just a rock song. All right, let's talk to the professor.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Saul.
Defensively, they've really come together.
Brought to you by Peoria Sports Complex.
It's amazing to think they can overcome what's probably about 18 points allowed in special teams.
Plus, a wild card.
Name me one Disney princess.
Leia.
Technically correct.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Saul.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
So Frank Clark was 60% last year.
Well, 60. If he's 60% with 13 sacks and the way that he rushes the quarterback and plays, he's an incredible player. That's amazing to think you have two UCLs and you fight through it. Now you knew that he was fighting through pain. He kind of hinted through it. I mean, you knew he was on the injury report for an elbow, but not to an injury extent like that. That's incredible to be able to play.
Some of the X's and O's of what a contract could look like for Frank Clark. If you were Matt Thomas, right, and you were the capologist for the Seahawks, and you know the market, John, you look at all these numbers. If you begin to put together the construct of what that could look like structurally?
I'd say probably, 4 years at $72 million and probably about the $35 guaranteed, somewhere in that neighborhood.
And you think that gets it done?
Probably not. Because I'm sure that when you come out and you say that you played 60% and you had 13 sacks, I think that, in the back of his mind, he's probably angling toward the $20 million contract.
Wow. Hey, we've seen all these numbers about what it means after a team signs a quarterback to huge money and what it does to the rest of the cap. What does it look like when teams sign defensive ends to top dollar contracts? Have they generally been successful, or does that seem to hamstring them nearly as much?
Well, I mean, it hurts over time, but we'll see where it goes, because now that you've got a couple $23 million guys, I mean, you got Aaron Donald, you got Khalil Mack. Now they do this knowing that they have quarterbacks that are rookies that aren't being paid too much.
Right.
I mean, because they're on their rookie contracts. But
you have both?
What's that?
Can you pay a quarterback top dollar and pay a defensive end top dollar and still be good?
Yes.
Who's done it?
You just have to manage it very well.
Who's done it?
What's that?
Who's done it?
Who's done it? Let's see. Because, again, everybody – well, you can say that to a degree, not Atlanta. They paid their quarterback. I'm just trying to go off the top of my mind right here because, again, some of these defensive ends have not been paid all that much. But, there's been teams that will do it. I just can't think of it off the top of my head.
Yeah, probably the Giants, right? The New York Giants back in the day with Strahan and their whole tuck and that group and that foursome, and they were paying Eli pretty top dollar.
Right. Yeah, I think you can say that, you can do it. It's just a matter that, because again, the alternative is you need a pass rush. You need somebody to block the pass rusher. I mean, you pay five players. I mean, you play the quarterback, you play the left tackle, you play the defensive end, you play the cornerback, and you play the wide receiver.
From a timing standpoint, and Frank's agent, is his agent an agency an aggressive agency, John?
Not really, no. I think it's pretty passive. I think that you can see that they're comfortable in the sense that if they have to take the franchise tag, they take the franchise tag. They know they're going to get paid one way or another. I mean, this is very much like DeMarcus Lawrence with the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, he got $18 million or $17.3 million in the franchise tag and hoping to get more, and probably now with the season he had, is probably going to get more. I mean, that's the issue right now.
So is Frank going to wait and see what DeMarcus Lawrence is going to get? Because I'll just put it out there. I don't like the franchise tag. I think there's a reason the Seahawks haven't done it since 2010. I want that guy around. I want his leadership around. Mm-hmm. I want him around the building. I don't want him to show up week one of the regular season partaking in no team activities whatsoever. I would like to see a deal get done. Do you think these two sides can meet in the middle?
I think so, yeah, because I think that, you know, why not get the job security? And now that's the one thing. Most players take the position that the franchise tag is evil because they don't get the ultimate guarantee. But I think some players realize that it's like, okay, in the big picture, it's very hard to get more than 2 years times the salary average as far as the guarantee. So, I mean, you know, you think you're getting the big guarantees, but you're really not, because a lot of times, I mean, you'll see these contracts and it'll say, you know, 50 million guaranteed. But usually it's just the first 2 years guaranteed, and then there's an injury guarantee that only counts if you're injured.
What's going on with Cam Newton? There's some story out that the ownership there in Carolina wondered if he might sit out a full year.
No, what basically David Tepper did is he came back and he said that that he realized that Cam Newton's shoulder was a big problem last year, that the team started to fall apart as the year went on because he really couldn't make the big throws downfield. And, you know, it's kind of like in the Andrew Luck thing. I mean, it's not like he's saying there's surgery or anything needed. They just don't know. But I guess they put that little caution out there. It's a possibility that he could miss into next year, but he's not saying that it is.
Okay. What about Antonio Brown? He's going to have to go somewhere, it looks like. Like, he's not going to stay in Pittsburgh. San Francisco's been connected to him. And then there was some story out there that maybe the Seahawks might be a potential. It just doesn't make any sense to me, but what do you
ridiculous.
Think?
No, it's ridiculous. I mean, let's put it this way. If you're going to pay Frank Clark, you can't pay $17 million to a wide receiver, along with paying, you know, two wide receivers over $10 million. That's just a ridiculous idea. But I think San Francisco is going to be very aggressive in trying to bid. The problem that they have is they have the second pick in the draft, and they're not going to give up the second pick in the draft to get Antonio Brown. And if you're Pittsburgh, you want a number one pick. That's why teams like Oakland, I think, have a better chance to do it because they have three first-round picks. You know, Denver's going to be in the mix. We'll see about other teams, but there seems to be real good interest right now. But, you know, who can come up with the right first-round pick? You can't do it up top because, again, the top four teams in the draft all need wide receivers, but this is too good of a draft to give up a top four pick for a wide receiver.
Wild card time.
Time now for the wild card. Wild
card. Mr. Professor Clayton?
Yes.
Who is one person you know will be a huge success in this world, but nobody knows them yet? It doesn't have to be football, but it could be.
Ha! Huge success. Wow, that's a
I'll
tough
give you
one.
Time. That's a deep question. We're giving kind of two deep questions this morning.
Yeah.
Somebody in your circle, somebody that you know will be a huge success in life, but it's just not yet known to the layman.
Yeah, so that is a struggle to be able to see it because it's not like there's this big group of people that I spend a lot of time with and all that stuff. I mean, I guess I'm trying to think of, you know, people in the radio industry and all that can do it. Can't really come to mind right now. That is a real tough one.
All right.
Shoot
Howdy a text in the next couple hours. Shoot him a text and let him
know. I thought you were going to say Howdy maybe was your answer. Like, eventually he'll be a success.
Howdy was hoping you were going to say
Howdy.
Nobody
knows it or thinks it right now because he's such a... He's not close. Like
Graz said that of me once in 2012. I still have the clip. I listen to it every week.
And what happened?
He said that
7 years
someday
ago.
That I was going to be running things.
It was 7 years ago.
Yeah, I would play
and
it.
And how's
week.
That one going?
You're running Fan Fiction Friday.
In my own head.
There you go.
Bye, John. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks.
All right, John Clayton, of course, his show every day at 10 o'clock. And I'll be on with Danny David Moore, as he always is, at 4 o'clock every afternoon.
4 years, $72 million for Frank Clark.
It's a lot of money.
Whew.
Someone's going to have to do a little research on this whole paying both a quarterback and a defensive end big money thing, because I got some texts coming in saying, well, they did it in Detroit and they did it in Minnesota. Cool. How's that working?
Not well.
Not well at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those teams went in 100% the wrong direction. I don't think it's working there.
Mm-mm.
So where is it working? Can it work? I don't know. One of you stats guys, or not, it's not really a stat. One of you capologists
there
out there who does this work for fun. Which I don't. Be very clear. The cap is not fun for me. It might be fun for some of you guys. Please, please do the research and shoot it over. Because
doesn't feel like Pittsburgh to a degree has done some of that in their front seven. They've paid guys, obviously.
Like the biggest money to a defensive end.
I don't know if it's the biggest money.
Greg Lloyd. Who did they do that with?
I think like Hayward. They've done it with a few different D linemen to keep them around.
Not DNs, not edge pass rushers.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, for years they had, what's his name? The workout.
Terrell Suggs, Joe Flacco making top money in Baltimore.
Has that worked?
Well, I mean, the playoffs every single year.
Has it worked, though?
I mean, has Flacco developed into being a total difference maker? No. I think Suggs has been a pretty dominant guy through the years. I think that's more probably on Flacco than I would say on Suggs.
That's probably a good one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good. Well,
Dwight Freeney.
I'm glad to hear that it's possible. So
Dwight Freeney in my day,
and
got paid top dollar with Peyton. So I think it's doable.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of the cap.
And it's not the same as when the Seahawks had three guys, none of whom were making the biggest amount of money, and all were getting after the passer the way they were in 2013 into 14 as well. All right. Coming up next, Brock, it's Wednesday and time for our favorite game, and you and I may get into it on one of these because I think we very strongly disagree. It's next on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk
live from the Alaska Airlines Studios,
streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
This is carried by Europe, and this will lead us into quite the competition at 8 o'clock.
Oh, such a good song.
Turns out yesterday the highest Textoy day we have had on the station in 6 months.
Our new Textoy doesn't track numbers the way the old one did. We used to have a sense as to what kind of a texting day it was. But at 8 o'clock, we'll have some contestants on the line to try to win, $25 in McDonald's gift card?
I picked
it
up last night. Very
Brock
proud. Going through
this
the drive-thru.
His own money yesterday.
Yep. Titus wanted two Big Macs and fries. I said, bro, not going to happen. Yes.
Do they still do $2 for $2?
No.
And when they
so.
Did that, that's no. when my buddy and I ate three Big Macs apiece, and that was a really... You guys are talking about going septic in the other room? I would say that's kind of how it felt after all that. But in honor of the president buying McDonald's for Clemson, Brock has bought $25 in McDonald's gift card for you.
Yep.
You just have to beat me in a competition of naming and recognizing power ballots. Yep. So we'll do that at 8 o'clock. Right now, though, it's time for our favorite game show, Which is Better? Brock, it's Wednesday at 7:30. Which is better? You ready?
Yeah.
All right, which is better? We'll start this off right. Big Mac or Whopper?
Whopper.
Stop it. Get off the air. Turn off your microphone, walk away, and go somewhere else. What are you even talking about?
These two are going to kill each other.
If you want to have some sort of a conversation about the double-double against the Big Mac, I'm certainly willing to hear it. If you want to even talk about a sourdough jack against the Big Mac, I'm willing to have that. The Whopper... First of all, the Whopper isn't even the best hamburger on Burger King's menu. The Whopper Jr. is significantly better. Even though it's smaller,
what are you talking about?
I would rather have two Whopper Juniors than one Whopper because the proportions are all screwed up on a Whopper. Mm. They fall out. It's a complete mess. Mm. And they taste burnt. Mm. No, thank you.
Burnt.
Big Macs all day.
A Whopper is sizable. The lettuce and the tomato and the onion are crisp. The bun just melts in with the mayonnaise and the cheese
meat
and the
tastes
fat.
Better.
The meat, you actually taste the meat.
Can I tell you something?
It is glorious.
Can I just tell you one thing?
I've not had one for 10 years.
Two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onion, sesame seed bun. Next question.
Textoy, Whopper or Big Mac?
Stop it.
No, 710. Very simple.
This weird little cult of Whopper people. They should try the Whopper Jr. It's actually
Whopper
better.
Or Big Mac? Text it in, please. 710-710.
I can't even believe it.
It's the only thing.
I can't believe we have to have this debate
in
2019.
No, McDonald's far exceeds it. They've got a lot more on the menu.
We're still talking about this.
Burger King has gone so fat on everything, just loaded with more and more and more just grotesquely fat things. But their Whopper, to me, beats the Big Mac.
Which is better, Adam Gase's eyes or Ben McAdoo's hair?
Oh.
Who made a better first impression upon their respective?
Well, it was also,
New
remember,
York
McAdoo was wearing like his dad's suit.
Oh,
his
I remember.
His suit was so ill fitting, you've never seen anything.
The
like.
Whole look from McAdoo,
but
I guess.
Remember, he had Al Davis's son's hair the first time, and then he slicked it back year two. He had kind of the Caesar cut year one. So are you talking about the Caesar cut?
I don't care.
Or the
slick I'm talking about
two?
The entire impression each of them made on the New York fan base.
Adam Gase reminds people of the Philadelphia Flyers mascot. That's crazy.
Gritty? You think he looks like Gritty with his eyes?
He looks like Gritty. He looks like a crazed cousin of Tungus.
Could have been that he was up all night, delirious, and like literally walked in that room with all the lights and was just like, oh. Could it be that? Because that was not his deal in Miami.
I don't know, dude, but who made a worse impression on their fans, Adam Gase or Ben McAdoo? The answer is McAdoo, because nobody had ever heard of him to begin with.
Yeah.
Plus, you had that Colin Cowherd thing.
True.
McAdoo! All right, which is better, 30 degrees and clear or 45 degrees and rain? You get an extra 50, maybe even close to 50. Let's say you get 50 degrees and rain. Which is better?
Oh, by far, 30 and clear. Because when you're sitting in the building, you're looking out, there's blue sky and it's sunshine. You can still find a way to get into some of the sunlight for a little bit of warmth.
Okay. Yeah. So let's say I agree with you. At what point is 50 and raining better? How low does the temperature go before
anything
it's better
in the
to be raining?
Anything in the teens.
So once you get under 20?
Yeah, things ice. And then it's just
25?
I think I said in the teens. Once it gets under 20, it's no
so at 20 degrees, 25 degrees, you still would rather have the rain.
I'd rather have the sunshine.
Or you'd rather have the sunshine, rather.
Yep.
I think it might be closer to 30, to be honest with you.
Probably is.
All right, which is the better nickname? Snacks, pot roast, or the pierogi prince of Parma? Or Danger Russell? Okay, maybe not that one.
Russell, wheels up, Wilson!
Snacks, Harrison.
Yeah.
Pot roast, what was his name? Guy used to play with the Broncos.
Big boy.
Or the pierogi prince of Parma.
Triple P.
Who's the new Seahawks
Jamie
defensive
Meter.
Lineman. Jamie
I have an issue with that, though, because pierogi aren't really served in Parma, right? They're not
know.
An Italian thing.
I don't
They're
think
like
so.
An Eastern European thing.
Right.
So it's just
I
interesting
think of them
to me.
As a Pittsburgh thing.
It's a, yeah. Anyway,
maybe Parma's in Pittsburgh.
Parma, Italy.
I think maybe there's also a Parma, Pennsylvania.
Parma, Pizza. Okay.
I think snacks. Snacks just puts kind of a smile on your face.
Yeah.
Big old boy, all sorts of energy. Everything tucked into the uniform out there, just eating snacks, eating offensive linemen, eating up run game. Kind of puts a smile on your face.
Yeah.
Triple P is too much. Pot roast just feels sloppy.
I'm with snacks.
I'm going to go snacks.
I'm with you
100%. Sure enough, Parma Sausage Products in Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a pierogi deal. It's a Pittsburgh thing.
There we go.
Adam Gase, text messages here. Adam Gase looks like Putin's kid. Yeah,
he does.
He does. It's bizarre.
He
looks just like Putin.
That's interesting. What's the text toy show on
Whopper? There are so many texts. There's a million on both. It's all out war here in Seattle.
So it's
the
split. See, it's split.
I can't believe we're debating this.
It's kissing your kids on the lips.
Yep.
Oh, that's another one. I can't believe we had to talk about
debate.
That. I had to have that conversation with Cecily the other day. She wanted to kiss on the lips. Like, yeah, we don't do that. It's not how this
She just wanted to love you because she is your daughter.
She manages to do that all the time, and we kiss on the cheek, which
just
is
a little more
fathers
affection.
And daughters do. Thanks.
Parma is also a suburb of Cleveland, of course, where the pierogi man came from.
Interesting. This is getting exhausting. Which is better, Pac-12 football or Pac-12 basketball?
Still play Pac-12 basketball?
I don't know. So I guess we got to go with Pac-12 football.
Yeah, Coach Hop's going to join us here in less than an hour.
Oh, I thought they went Mountain West.
No. Probably Coach Hop in Arizona near the top of the conference. You missed it yesterday in Blue 42. The most valuable teams in the Pac-12 conference, Kyle, based on the Wall Street Journals.
I saw that. UW's waterfront real estate put them
over
the top.
$500 million.
They got a good piece of real estate.
Yeah, they
that
sure
was the
do.
Difference.
Which is better, January or February?
That's a really tough one for
I know.
Me. The month of January for football is phenomenal.
Right?
It starts with the college football bowl games on January 1, the title game, the best playoffs in the NFL. So you have incredible viewing in that way. Yet, you know, once you get to February, it's short. It's a short, sweet month, and
right.
then we're pushing into spring.
Yes.
Like, we're almost through winter.
A lot gets done in January, I would say.
Yes.
There's no real vacations. You get the one day for Martin Luther King Day. But other than that, there's no long vacations. Kids aren't. So, like, it's a time when stuff gets done at work.
February's a midwinter break. February has got a couple holidays.
Right.
February just comes and goes.
But January, though, for a lot of people, also is, you know, a time of...
I'm going to say I would not want to miss January. January 1st is my favorite day of the sporting calendar.
Yeah.
February playoffs.
Stinks.
Yeah.
February is the January. Worst. February might be the worst month.
Yep.
Glad we agree. All right,
we're
you go.
We're agreeing too much on this.
Well, no. If you want, we can go back to your becoming a hipster. I had never thought of you as like a hipster type guy.
The Whopper's hipster?
I would say so. I mean, the Big Mac is the Big Mac.
I would
it's
say
the standard
no.
by which all other sandwiches like that are judged.
I would say at Hannah Wall Pavilion.
I would call you a bit of a hipster trying to go
on Saturdays after
Whopper.
Friday night basketball games and in between practice, I would go to the Burger King right down the road and get two Whoppers for $5. And yeah, I have memories of that, Mike.
Right.
Lasting.
Yeah.
Lasting memories,
yeah,
as do many folks on the text toy.
I'm sure, but I it seems a little hipster. Like, just go with the obvious answer, which is the Big Mac, and stop making a scene.
Thanks.
I would say you're making a scene.
Thanks.
Hey, huge reviews came in for one unheralded Seahawk now that we're into the offseason. How much bigger of a factor can he be next year? I'll ask Brock that question. A whole bunch more next on Brock and Salk.
games.
Here we go.
This is Coors Light's Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, GU corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready, right.
Blue 42 is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The mountains turn blue at 42 degrees.
Blue 42!
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Song.
Blue 42! Blue 42!
Text message, Salk, the plural of Whopper Jr. is Whoppers Jr., you ignoramus. I'll own that. I'll own it. You're probably right. Sorry about that.
Dude, I love the last 2 days. Power ballads and Whoppers and Big Macs.
Power ballads are coming here in 15
I thought you were going to say how much you love how much people are angry right now. Just yelling at people.
Are they still angry?
Text so message. Mad.
The text message machine is just out of control.
It's like we're in Mike Salk's like creative space. Every day.
Get out of here, Howdy. Enough out of you. Question number one for you, Brock. Puna Ford. Rabel was raving about him, really has all year long. And we saw Pro Football Focus give him some really tremendous grades at the end of the year. How much could his role expand next year?
Oh, you mean like the highest grade, a 90 grade, the highest grade of any rookie D lineman? Is that what you're referencing?
That's the one I'm referencing.
Yeah, pretty impressive. His role is only going to expand. There's no question about it. Ken Norton alluded to it with us, and Coach Carroll has alluded to it. It really is remarkable, Mike, for the amount of time and energy. I was listening to our guy Daniel Jeremiah yesterday on a national show, and he's down at the East-West Shrine Game, and then they go to the Senior Bowl, and then they've got the Combine, and they spend all of this time. And to think that the rookie that led the league in defensive line play was not even drafted. Like, how is that even possible? This is not I spend a week. It's not some haphazard interview process. This is like combing everything. Everybody is looking for, especially D linemen.
Wait, how can it possibly surprise you after watching the coaching searches these past few weeks?
Yeah, true. I guess you could whittle 32 NFL
Anything
teams down.
Anything that is
to
outside the box doesn't look good. Somebody has to have already done it before in order for me to do it.
The concern with Puna, and I think part of the reason is why he wasn't drafted, was, well, the body just won't endure or last. I think that's a legitimate concern. I think it's why, will he be a starter that plays 90% of the snaps? No. Can he develop a little bit of his passing game? If he does, he'll be on the field a little bit more. But yeah, here was Rabel with us yesterday, raving about the guy, well, that all the scouts are raving about now.
Boy, Puna Ford came on at the end of the season, and he's just a load. He is a force to be reckoned with. So he was fun to watch. And whether he actually can step up and move into a starting role next to Jaron Reed or... He continues to be that backup.
I think he moved Shamar Stephan out. I think it was a nice year for Shamar. I think part of the reason you move on from Tom Johnson earlier in the year is like, wow, well, Shamar and this Puna guy is pretty good and some of these other pieces. Why Nas Jones is now moving out to defensive end. So how much more he moves into the starting role, I don't know. But he's moved a lot of personnel on his own team out, as well as those opponents that he also decimated at the point of attack. He will play a substantial role in 2019. I just think it's one that they will still, because of the size, continue to split some of those duties.
All right, question number two. As the Seahawks look to add to their roster, when you look around the league, what positions are most challenging to add?
Linebacker is the hardest moving forward. I think John Schneider sat with us and told us last spring, you know, they're just finding linebackers, and where are linebackers, and what is that position even like today? What is the evolution of today's linebacker? 20 years ago, Lavon Kirkland still played linebacker, 285 pounds, with me as a teammate in Seattle. And it was, you know, common to have 240, 250-pound linebackers. Right now, Bobby Wagner is the anomaly at 250. Now, obviously, he runs, and he's freakish in his physical ability, so that makes him an anomaly alone. But just as far as what you're looking for in today's NFL at that position, to play all three downs at linebacker in today's NFL is hard. And when you start to scout and you start to look at it and you start to put the supply chain in college football, Mike, of guys can do it, there's a lot of guys that can now cover. But who can play the early downs? Who can sit between the A-gaps and come up there and hit a guard in the face mask and then take on these running backs like Chris Carson or Zeke Elliott? Man, it is hard to find. And I think you're going to continue to see that prioritized a little bit more in these drafts. If you think you've got the right one, you're not going to sit around and wait till the middle rounds. I think you're going to aggressively target that guy, especially one that can play three downs, like the Darius Leonard kid did in Indianapolis. It was an all-pro this year as a rookie. Right out of a small college, they're going to be searching for that position.
Did you see that Van Der Esch was on the bench for the final drive for the Cowboys? They went with Sean Lee. kind of interesting. Maybe just the veteran giving him one last shot, but
He and Vander Esch went to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, well, there you go. All right, question number three. Kyler Murray has certainly been the talk of both the NFL and MLB over the last couple of days. We've heard a lot about his upside. Where will the concerns be?
Not just height, but also weight. Now, I was chatting with a few of my different friends that are in the scouting business in the NFL and said, anybody got a height on him? Right? Because usually they go in the spring and find a height and weight. He's playing baseball, right? And then he transferred schools. He's been a one-year starter. So Major League Baseball is actually the place you'd probably turn to. But those guys are not as concerned with some of those measurements of like height and weight as they are in football and at that position. You know, there will be, you will hear this over the months ahead, comps to Baker Mayfield and comps to Russell Wilson for a tremendous athlete in Kyler Murray. He's not either of those guys. He's much quicker and faster. I mean, he is lightning fast, but you know what else he is? 5'9", maybe, and about 185 pounds. I mean, he is, Russell's 215. Baker was like 220. I mean, those are bigger, thicker, stronger guys. This is a little itty-bitty guy, but man, can he fly, and man, can he play, and man, will he test so many of these thresholds in the NFL.
All right, that's today's Coors Light's Blue 42. Of course, we do that every single morning, right, at 7:45. Mm-hmm. A chance to learn a little bit about football from Brock. Also want to remind you guys that 710 ESPN Seattle is proud to sponsor the 84th annual MTR Western Sports Star of the Year Award Show. It's happening Thursday, February 7th at the Sheraton Grand Seattle. You can join the Seattle Sports Commission in celebrating the great moments in sports from 2018 and beyond. You can find tickets, info, and a chance to vote on your favorite athletes or sports stories for the year at 710sports.com/events. All right. You want to win? You want to win some money at old Mickey D's?
You want to compete against Salk?
You want to compete against me? If you want to beat Salk? You want to win this competition, all you got to bring with you is your knowledge of hair metal, and especially the softer side. Power Ballad competition commences next. If you want to jump into this, 206-421-3776 is the number. We'll be right back. It's Brock and Salk.